This is Digital Story Podcast number 767, December 1st, 2020. Today's theme is 5 Great Printing Projects for Creative Photographers. I'm Derek Story. What a lot of photographers don't realize is that they've already done half the work toward completing a satisfying print project. What I'm going to suggest to you today are 5 options to finish them off. And believe me, you'll be tempted by at least one of these, and probably more. I hope you enjoy the show. So this is a day where you definitely will want to go to the show notes. And the reason being is because I'm going to talk about 5 printing projects here that are pretty cool, pretty easy. You can most likely do them right now. You might have to order some paper, but that only takes a day or two. The thing is, though, all the details about what I'm going to talk about are in this 32-page ebook I have available to you for free called Creative Printing. And you can download it by clicking on the link in the show notes. You'll see it right there. Now, this is where I have all the specific paper stocks. This is where I have links to things like square frames with the right opening for this project I'm talking about. It's where all the stuff is, plus the instructions on how to do everything, right? So I have to say that the class notes are already done for you. You just have to go get them. And also that means that you can just sit back and enjoy this podcast. You don't have to worry about taking a whole lot of notes. Why? Because the notes are already done. And let's just have fun with these 5 creative projects. Okay, here's the first one, the very first one. Framed Instagram prints. Now, I'm putting this one first because it is my favorite. I love this one. We use Instagram all the time, most of us, and it is a great place to share images. The thing about it, though, like so many things online, it's here right now, and then a day later, a week later, a month later, it's like it never happened. And a lot of these images that we post are quite good. Not all of them, not the one of your lunch, you know, the other day, but the one of the landscape that you took on that road trip, quite nice. And a lot of those images would make very nice prints. Now, the thing about it is that we do things with our Instagram images that are even different than on our computer. If, for example, we played with them on our computer, then sent them to our phone and then put them up, because we have additional filters and things we do. And a lot of times that look, that Instagram look, makes a really neat print. So why not make prints of them, put them in a really cool frame, and enjoy them more than just the 5 seconds that you're swiping through it on the app itself. Here's the way that I do it. And again, details for all of this are in the book. So the step-by-step, all the stuff you really need are in the book. But I'll just give you an overview right now. Generally speaking, what I do is I share the Instagram picture to my computer, in my case. You can print directly from your phone. In fact, I talk about that a lot in the ebook, because that's sort of the thrust of it, how to use your phone to just print stuff and eliminate the computer altogether. So you can go any number of ways. A lot of times what I like to do is just use AirDrop, send it directly from Instagram to my Mac using AirDrop. So just go to the little 3 dots that are in the upper right-hand corner of your photo on Instagram and see what's available to you, and either print directly from there or send it to somewhere where you can. Now, what you want to do is print a 4x6 print. 4x6, and then you get an 8-inch by 8-inch frame, a nice square frame with a 3.5x3.5 inch opening. These frames look great, and they don't cost very much at all. Again, the link is in the ebook, and I tested that link to make sure that they were still there, because I did this ebook a while back. So you get an 8x8 frame with a 3.5x3.5 inch opening, and then you take your 4x6 Instagram print and you kind of position it so it looks great in that opening. Now, the Instagram print itself, if you play square on Instagram like I do most of the time, what you'll have is a square image on a 4x6 piece of paper. So you just kind of move it around. And then I just use photo corners to adhere it to the back of the mat that's in the frame. Put it all together and then just look at it. And it will look so cool. It looks so cool. Now, these make great gifts, right? You can give them to other people. I just have them around the studio here. I just set them up on like the drafting table, or, you know, put them over on the table where I eat, or, you know, I just kind of move them around. I just like them. And the cool thing about it is that if you use photo corners to put the print in the back, then you can just change out the print whenever you want. And if you actually print from your smartphone, which is kind of a cool thing to do, then it's super easy to change out the prints in the frames that you have hanging around. So you're sort of picking up what I'm laying down here. You have to try this. Seeing your Instagram image in a nice museum quality black frame hanging on the wall just gives it a whole different vibe and a really super enjoyable one. So that's the first one. Framed Instagram prints. You got to give this a try. Second one is called Postcards from the Edge. People still like to receive postcards. They do. And they are easy to make. And again, I go through all the steps. Now, the paper that I like to use for postcards is a Red River Paper 88-pound Polar Matte cardstock, the 5x7, and you can get the 60 sheets box, and it's item number 1732. Again, all of this is in the ebook. You can also go the 4x6 size as well. So basically what you do is you just take a cool shot that you have that would make a great postcard. You load this paper into the printer. It can be any printer that you have, you know, whatever inkjet printer you have around the joint. And then I did put this in the show notes to make it easy for you. Then you download the back template for the postcard. And this is what really finishes it off. So I have a 5x7 and a 4x6 template. And this is where the little lines go, where you put the address, and the little square where you put the stamp, you know, that thing. You can just download these right here from the site or from the book, and then print out two-sided. So on the one side goes your picture, on the back side goes this template, and then send it to somebody, and it is so cool. And this Polar Matte cardstock that I use, it is beautiful stuff. It's 88 pound. It has a good weight to it. It feels like a real postcard. Nice white color. You can write on both sides of it or print on both sides of it. It's just fun stuff. This is stock you just want to have around the house all the time because it's versatile for so many things. You don't have to do just postcards with it because you have both 5x7, 4x6. You can do all sorts of projects with it, postcards being one of my favorites. So that's my second one, Postcards from the Edge. And I have the templates for the back of the postcard ready for you to download right now. The third one's just kind of fun. You can do your own passport photos at home. And in fact, I have this app. It's for iOS, and it's called Biometric Passport Photo App. And I checked to make sure that it's still there. It is. It's free, but you really want the $1.99 version to unlock the different print output sizes, including the 4x6 dimensions that I use in the book. And basically, what you do is that you follow the rules, you know, that you need for your passport photo. You know, make sure that it's all lined up properly, your face is lined up properly, and that you're not doing any things you're not supposed to do. Like, you know, wear like a hat down over your eyes or something, something that would keep you from being identified at TSA. So you follow the rules, use this app, and then you can print directly from the app to your inkjet printer. And then you just cut precisely, right? Because it puts them two up. I think you get four of the photos on the 4x6 sheet of paper. So you have 4x6 around, you just shoot it up, print it up, cut it up, and then you've got these cool little passport photos. Now, these things are also good for attaching to resumes, for putting on other items where you want your picture, you know, as part of the presentation or whatever you happen to be working on. They actually come in really handy. And you don't have to cut the sheets up right away. You can just go ahead and print out whatever, 5-6 sheets, and then just have them. And then if you need them, then just cut them up. I like to use a little paper cutter. By the way, my favorite paper cutter is featured in the book. It's just a little guy, and it's great. It's great for, you know, chopping up passport photos and stuff like that. I use it practically every day. Passport photos at home, they're easy. You use this little app, print directly to your printer. They look cool, but they're also handy for other things as well. Like I said, resumes, marketing presentations, all that good stuff. All that good stuff. This next one, number 4, is probably my second favorite here, and it is square greeting cards. And there's something about a square greeting card that, I don't know, it just looks more artistic. It's really, we're used to seeing, generally speaking, the fine art cards that we make are 5 by 7 inches folded, right? So they're, you know, so you have 7 by 10 sheet of paper that's scored in the middle. You print on one end of it, you fold it, and you've got this lovely 5 by 7 card. You put it in a 5 by 7 envelope, and it's fabulous. Standard size, it's the size that we're used to seeing. However, if you make a square greeting card, then suddenly this looks completely different. And people go, wow, that's really artistic. And they fold down to 5 1/4 by 5 1/4 inches. And you can even get square white envelopes for them. This is so cool. Now, again, I have all the stuff in the book, but I'll give you some of the stuff right here. And this is in the show notes as well. I like Red River Paper's 60-pound Polar Matte greeting card stock. And it's 5 1/4 inches by 10 1/2 inches. And it's item number 1892. 1892. And so then it folds down to 5 1/4 by 5 1/4. And this is just like the other cardstock. It has the score in the middle, the whole deal. And then you get the square white envelopes, and that's item number 7170. And then you print these up, and I even have a square card template that I made that you can download. I put the link in the show notes there, and it's also in the book. So you download the template, and I make these things from my phone. I'm serious. I don't even use a computer because I have all the images in either photos or Instagram that, you know, I would need. I print directly to the printer using this template, fold it up, put it in the envelope. People love them. They absolutely love it. And a square greeting card is really a beautiful thing. And I show you how to do it here in this book. Alrighty. Here's the last one for you. And I like this one too. And again, I think because the size is different. Printing a panorama card. And you don't even have to shoot a panorama to make a panorama card, right? Any shot will work. It's really just on how you crop it. So for this, I like to use Red River Paper's 8-inch by 9-inch greeting card, 60-pound Premium Matte Plus, and that's item number 1083. And I believe that these cards, when folded down, fit in a number 10 envelope quite nicely, right? So they're 9 inches long and then 4 inches tall. So you get the 8-inch by 9-inch paper, it's scored. Same thing, just like how you print all the other cards. You print on one side, and then you fold it, and you have this really cool 9-inch wide panorama greeting card. Put it in a cool envelope. Again, send it to people, and they will just love it because it's so unique. And especially if you get an image on there that really takes advantage of those proportions. So that's printing a panorama card. And again, the paper stock from Red River Paper is 1083. And of course, there are different surfaces that you can use. I'm just sharing my favorite ones right now. And I believe in the book, I list different surfaces as well. So let me just review these five again, just so you can really get excited. First one, framed Instagram prints. Love, love, love this one. Postcards from the edge, I have to tell you, very high coolness factor. Passport photos at home, well, just because you don't want to look like your passport photo was taken at Walgreens or CVS, do it at home, make it look good, and they're handy for other stuff too. Square greeting cards, these things make me crazy, I love them so much. And then printing a panorama card, and for the right image, these can be breathtaking. Now I have a final thought for you, and this is actually from the book. So the book was published a few years ago, so that's when I wrote this. So this isn't current, but it still kind of gives you the idea of why I like this stuff. Recently, I celebrated a birthday with friends and family. We had barbecue, music, and refreshments. A few gifts found their way to the event as well. The next day, I wanted to thank everyone who had brought presents, so I pulled out my iPhone, found a party picture that I liked, turned on my Canon printer, and created a small stack of 5.25 by 5.25 inch fine art square cards, right from my phone. I produced them all in about 10 minutes using the template from Chapter 5, which is the one I have available for you to download. It actually took me longer to address them than it did to print. I'm sharing this story because it's a real-life example why I love being a photographer who prints. I could have sent a thank you email to everyone, sometimes I do, but for this occasion I wanted to go the extra mile, and personalized greeting cards seemed like the right move. I would have loved to have been there when each person opened theirs. Those are my five ideas for print projects. There's a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story Red River paper tile, so you can take these item numbers and just go to that tile and order away, or you can download the ebook and get all the item numbers and links and stuff like that too. Some of the Red River paper links are broken in the ebook, but the item numbers are still accurate, so then all you got to do is just plug in the item number in the search field and it will take you there. Do some of this, have fun with this. This is a blast, and I'm telling you, your images will look different in a cool square frame or as a cool square greeting card or as a panorama. They will look different and you will appreciate them even more. 1 degree of separation and the appeal of mirrorless cameras. So I've been writing for Medium.com. It's been, you know, a few months now, and I really like it, and I'm starting to build a following there, and it's going well. It's going really well. And I usually post an article there every other week, sometimes 3 posts a month, depending on how other things are going. I have a draft of one that I'm going to post probably Tuesday, which is when most people will be listening to this podcast. Maybe post it on Wednesday. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how I feel about it after I look at it again tomorrow, right? Because I always let them set. In fact, the process for me writing for Medium is very consistent. I usually do the first draft early Sunday morning, usually around 6:30 in the morning. I'm awake about 5:30 and I start thinking about things that I want to write about. By 6:30, I'm up having coffee and it's just me and the cat. So we're hanging out. I have the laptop. I just write that first draft. It usually takes me about an hour to write the first draft. Most of my drafts are between 500 and 700 words. I fold up the laptop and then I do something else after that. Usually drink more coffee. And then that evening, I'll go over the draft again. That's my second pass. And I play with it and make some adjustments and all that kind of stuff. Do a little sanity check on it, make sure I wasn't totally crazy first thing in the morning. Let it set again. And then on Monday morning, before I start working on the podcast, I'll go over it one more time. And then I start feeling pretty good about it. One tip that I'll give those of you who like to write as well as take pictures is that on that last draft, to make sure that it has the right meter and sounds right and that I haven't missed anything with my eyes, I have my Mac read it to me. And your Mac has that text recognition where it will read it to you. I think it's in accessibility where you can set that up. And I have it read it to me, and it's interesting. I always find at least one thing when the Mac is reading to me that I missed every other time that I just read it. So that's a tip. Have your computer read you that draft before you send it off or publish it or whatever you're going to do. And then I publish it, and the whole thing starts over again in about a week to a week and a half. So I thought I would read you a draft of my latest one, because this one might be interesting to many of you because we talk about mirrorless cameras. It's a fun piece, and it'll give you a feel. If you don't follow me on medium.com, it'll give you a feel for what I'm doing when I'm not doing workshops and podcasts and all that stuff that I do on Digital Story. Let's launch into it now. It's about 640 words, this one. It's about a 3-minute read. 1 degree of separation in the appeal of mirrorless cameras. Years before he died in a plane crash, Galen Rolls spoke at a camera club in Santa Rosa, California. He shared a valuable bit of information during his talk, and afterward, I thanked him for solving my biggest challenge in photography: proper exposure. This was a moment in the 1990s before computational photography and mirrorless cameras. We had a lot riding on every press of the shutter button. 36 exposures on a roll of film. Each one cost money to process and print, and I was tired of wasting my allowance. Too many of my pictures were excessively dark or light. They perplexed me. I wanted perfect exposures every time. Seemed so basic to me. Why was it hard? That night, Galen said, "You have to see the world the way the camera views it, not your eyes." The thinking being that cameras react differently to light than our optical nervous system. Our eyes are magical. They can see shadows and highlights at the same time. Camera meters are calibrated for neutral gray, and we often have to choose between capturing darks or lights. Knowing these limitations gives you more control. My photography changed immediately. Armed with that knowledge, I could turn my attention to what compelled me in the first place, making pictures that had feeling. I wanted to be an artist. Galen Roll never had a chance to hold a mirrorless camera. He passed away in 2002. But in a matter of seconds, he would have understood their appeal. The eye of a mirrorless camera, an electronic viewfinder, doesn't show you the real world that's before you. Instead, it displays how the camera interprets the scene. Think about that for a moment. It's a real-time preview of the photograph you're about to take before you take it. And by extension, the electronic viewfinder solves the exposure problem. I've programmed the rotating collar around the shutter button on my Olympus Pen F to manage this task for me. If the scene appears too dark, I can instantly make it brighter. And what I see with the camera is how the photo will be exposed. No wonder we like these things. Many say mirrorless cameras will replace DSLRs that use optical viewfinders. It's the difference between looking through a window and watching TV. There's no electronic interpretation with DSLRs. It's just glass. And yet, I love the way the world looks through a finely crafted single lens reflex. I have a Contax ST with a handful of Zeiss lenses. Viewing a scene with that camera is like sitting in a darkened room watching a sunrise through a window. I feel connected to the morning. The problem is the guts of the DSLRs see things a bit differently. So even though I feel connected to the scene before me, I have to translate it for the camera. That's 1 degree of separation between what is composed and what is captured when witnessing the world through an optical viewfinder. And there's the rub. Even the most skilled photographer isn't completely sure how the picture will turn out with a DSLR. The 1 degree of separation is just enough to cast a shadow of doubt. When it comes to exposure, mirrorless cameras build confidence. They are predictable. You look at the resulting image and think to yourself, "That's the way I thought it would be." That's tough competition, but I hope DSLRs survive. As much as I love watching a good movie on TV, I also enjoy leisurely walks. I like it when it's just me and the planet. The optical viewfinder is more like a good pair of glasses. So the question is, do you prefer to compose viewing the actual scene or an electronic rendering of it? For most people, it's the latter. All right, so that is 1 degree of separation and the appeal of mirrorless cameras. A draft of this piece, and I thought you'd get a kick out of hearing it before it's actually published and reading it now. I actually saw a couple little things I want to change. Regardless, I hope you enjoyed the piece. Speaking of film cameras, just want to mention that the film camera shop on Etsy, very popular right now. I guess it's that time of year for purchasing such things as film cameras. If you have a film camera that you'd like to contribute, all you have to do is go to thenimblephotographer.com, click on the contact form, let me know what you have, and then I'll get back to you. And if I can use it, if I have parts for it, if it's something that I think people would enjoy on the film camera shop, I will send you a box and a label. And then all you have to do is put your camera in there, seal it up, put the label on it, and tell USPS to pick it up when they deliver your mail. It's really cool. And I really appreciate this. The folks that buy these things appreciate it. It's a win-win-win all the way around. Again, all you have to do is go to thenimblephotographer.com, use the contact form, let me know what you have, and we will give your film camera an encore career. Just a little virtual camera club news. The first thing I want to say is that the second session of the Ultimate Black and White Photography Workshop has sold out. Now we're just down to the doing of it. Those of you that have signed up for the workshop, you'll be hearing from me probably this week. And we're going to start getting organized. I'll start letting you know when stuff is going to happen, all that good stuff. And then we will start taking pictures, sharing pictures, talking about our pictures, and learning how to make great black and white shots. I'm really excited about this, and I will be reporting on it once we actually get started. Also want to give a big thanks to our Inner Circle members. They are the ones that support this community month in and month out. Thank you so much, Inner Circle members. And Inner Circle members, of course, got a discount to the Ultimate Black and White Photography Workshop, and some of them took advantage of it, and I'm so happy to have you here. Those discounts, those freebies, those expressions of gratitude are sincere, because the Inner Circle members are the ones that keep this car moving forward, and I appreciate it so much. Thank you, each and every one of you. And finally, be sure to visit our friends at Red River Paper. Okay, so today's show just gives you an idea of all the cool stuff they have. You know, square cards, panorama cards, envelopes for this stuff. They have more types of printing paper than any place that I know, and it is high quality, and I have boxes of it here. I have boxes of it here because I never know what mood I'm going to be in. So if you want to do some of these printing projects, make sure that you get your order off to Red River Paper. Go to the tile on all the pages of Digital Story. Get your stuff ordered so that you can get it back. And if you're going to do it as gifts, then you will have enough time to give people one of those beautifully framed square Instagram shots or a square card, whatever moves you. Put it on Red River Paper, make it look beautiful. And they also have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. And a big thanks to them, our longest running sponsor of the podcast. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed this show. I'll be back next week with more great ideas and things to do, and yes, things to purchase as well. Until then, have a great week. Be creative. Stay safe. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.